Section 3. Advice for Church Organizations. Chapter 9. God's Institutions. Honor to whom honor is due. Let the men to whom honor is due, those who have worked under difficult circumstances, who have built up our institutions, who have been used of God as minutemen to advance His work, be honored. God is dishonored by those men who by word or letter slight the men whom He has chosen to do His work. Any disparagement of these men, God holds as a disparagement to Christ. Interconnectedness of God's work. Every line of God's work has a connection with every other line. Exclusiveness cannot exist in an institution where God presides, for He is the Lord of all tact, all ingenuity. He is the foundation of all correct methods. It is He who imparts knowledge concerning them, and no man is to look upon this knowledge as exclusively his own. Each worker should feel an interest in every line of the work, and if God has given him foresight, capability, and knowledge that will help in any line, he should communicate that which he has received. 7T198, 192. All our institutions should be missionary agencies in every sense of the word. No work is to be allowed to hinder the work of soul saving. In every institution, there is missionary work to be done. From the manager down to the humblest worker, all should feel a responsibility for the unconverted among their own number. They should put forth earnest efforts to win them to Christ. As a result of such effort, many will be won to the Savior and will become faithful and true in service to God. April 9th. The work of God is one harmonious whole. This should be shown by the brethren in their treatment of each other. God would have those entrusted with responsibilities in His work give tangible proof that they are wide awake to a sense of their duty toward those who have helped God's institutions. God will require this at their hands, and He will prosper the institution where justice and judgment run like threads of gold through every branch of the work. Let heaven begin on earth by doing justice and judgment. Let us make sure that in whatever position we are placed, we cherish the presence of an abiding Christ. Institutions as missionaries. In order that the work of the Lord may go forward, our institutions need discreet, pure-minded, righteous managers. But some in positions of trust have been confirmed in a wrong course of action by being tolerated for years, by being allowed to make decisions, to advocate methods, to carry out plans which are not of the Lord's devising. The enemy has been given an opportunity to control men and to manage the work which God has shown should be kept pure and sacred, that it may be looked upon with reverence by all who claim to believe the truth. When men entrusted with responsibilities neglect to cherish that which is sacred and use common fire in God's service, God will despise their offering to Him. This has been and is still being done. For years, a degree of Pharisaism has been springing up amongst us, which has separated some from the Bible standard. If the preconceived ideas of those actuated by this spirit are crossed, they immediately assume a controversial, combative attitude, as a man puts on armor when preparing for battle. Much pride and loftiness, and a spirit which desires to rule, has been manifested. But very little of the spirit which leads men to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of Him has been shown. Human inventions and human plans are eclipsing sacred things and excluding divine instruction. Men are taking the place of God by seeking to assume authority over their fellow men. But they rule without a vestige of the authority of God, which alone can make their ruling a healthful element. And others are becoming leavened by this wrong influence. If the principles of truth had been enthroned in the hearts of these men, human passions and human affections would have been guided and controlled by the Spirit of Christ. The atmosphere surrounding the soul would not be deleterious and poisonous, for self would be hid in Jesus. In the providence of God, we have institutions established among us to advance the promulgation of the truth, but they do not reach the efficiency that they might if the workers were wholly consecrated to God. The Lord has made every provision that these institutions may reach a high standard, that they may attain to a larger growth and wider usefulness, and that those employed in them may possess Christian virtues and graces. But those connected with these instrumentalities are not all devout and spiritual. They do not represent the spirit and character of Christ. They are not ensamples to those connected with them, because they do not live in communion with God, earnestly seeking by faith and fervent prayer to know His will that they may do it.
These instrumentalities are missionary institutions. The Lord designed that they should be a power for good, and if all who are connected with them are consecrated, if they are meek and lowly in heart, Christ will give them most precious lessons in His school. In our health institutions, our publishing houses, our schools, all should work harmoniously to carry out the purpose of God, and everything connected with the institutions should tend toward reform. The managers and helpers should have the true missionary spirit as a daily abiding principle, for they are in a field that requires the highest kind of missionary work. Our institutions, properly conducted, will exert a far-reaching influence. And if the managers and the workers are Christians, they will be as shining lights. They will educate those connected with them in the principles of truth. A responsibility to spread the knowledge of right principles rests upon all who have received the light. This responsibility should be felt by every man and woman who claims to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and much more by those who are connected with our institutions. All should realize that these institutions are an important part of the Lord's great work for the salvation of souls. Let it be the aim of all to be laborers together with God for the uplifting of humanity. All should be educators by precept and example. They should feel a personal responsibility to send forth men and women as fully instructed as possible, prepared to exert a direct and saving influence in the homes, the communities, and the churches to which they may go. This would be the very best recommendation that any of our institutions could have. Wisdom is needed in the selection of managers in the various departments. It is impossible for one to control others until he learns to control himself. The superintendent should be a man who loves and fears God. Qualifications of managers. From time to time, I have felt urged by the Spirit of the Lord to bear testimony in regard to the necessity of procuring the very best talent to work in the various institutions and other departments of the cause. Heretofore, there has not been sufficient care to secure the best ability for all parts of our work. Those who bear responsibilities must be men trained for the work, men whom God can teach and whom He can honor with wisdom and understanding, as He did Daniel. They must be thinking men, men who bear God's impress and who are steadily progressing in holiness, in moral dignity, and in an understanding of their work. They must be praying men, men who will come up into the mount and view the glory of God and the dignity of the heavenly beings whom He has ordained to have charge of His work. Then, like Moses, they will follow the pattern given them in the mount, and they will be on the alert to secure and bring into connection with the work the very best talent that can be obtained. If they are growing men, possessing sanctified intelligence, if they listen to the voice of God and seek to catch every ray of light from heaven, they will, like the sun, pursue an undeviating course, and they will grow in wisdom and in favor with God. The streets controlling various lines of work in our institutions need to realize the truth of the words, "Without me, ye can do nothing." If you educate the workers in every department to invite the presence of the Lord Jesus and begin the work with softened and subdued hearts. No loud-voiced ordering or sharp words will be heard. No harsh spirit will be manifested by men and women who believe that Christ is in the room. This is the reformation needed. The workers in every room are to be transformed into a Christian Endeavor company to help one another to please Christ by gentleness, good temper, and sunshine in the heart. As you take time to pray with the workers, you can take half an hour to introduce the heavenly guest and then ask if there are those present who would have you pray especially for them. Do not consider this wasted time, for by this means, success and spiritual victory will be brought in. Those who are called to be superintendents or managers in our institutions must, as soon as they come into office, lay aside all wrong practices and, with a full realization of their high obligations, solemnly dedicate themselves to God, asking Him to preside over the sacred work which He has appointed them to manage. They should expel all selfishness, all desire for worldly gain, all crookedness and deception, all overreaching in business transactions. Never, never are they to stain their work with the sin of greed or with corrupt, fraudulent actions as overreaching in trade. God will not bless any proceeding that is not carried on in accordance with holy, sanctified principles.
Those who are chosen to connect with the Lord's institutions are to be devoted, self-denying, self-sacrificing men, living not to please themselves, but to please the Master. These are the men who will do honor to the Lord's institutions. May 16th. Men should be chosen to stand at the head of our institutions who have not only good, sound judgment, but who have a high moral tone. Men who will be circumspect in their deportment, pure in speech, recommending their high and holy calling, and who know that there is a watcher, a true witness to every word and act. If men in our institutions exhibit a low grade of thought, if their conversation tends to corrupt rather than to elevate, let them be removed at once from any connection with the institution, for they will surely demoralize others. The well-being of the entire institution is at stake. Ever bear in mind that each of our health institutions is a missionary field. God's eye is upon it day and night. No one should feel at liberty to allow even the appearance of evil in their associations with the nurses, patients, or helpers, for the Lord will certainly judge you, managers at Crystal Springs, for a wrong influence exerted over any of His instrumentalities. Set right example. In our homes and institutions, faith and works must be combined. God's wisdom must permeate all lines of business. A great reformation must take place. God desires everything pertaining to His service to be conducted on right principles. There is not to be one standard for those bearing responsibilities and another for the workmen. It is thought that the workmen are under control and will do just as they are told. But there must be no tampering with the conscience. Duty must be faithfully done by all. Those holding high positions must work with conscientiousness and fidelity. God expects them to set a right example, seeking to train others in right lines. Discern between good and evil. The men in charge of God's institutions are to pray, as did Solomon, for wisdom to discern between good and evil, deciding in behalf of the people between right and wrong. Their work ordained of God is as sacred now as in ancient times. Men who know God and trust in Him, who are working for His name's glory, are to have keen discernment to discover any influence which would demerit the work and hinder the advancement of God's institution. Those who will be faithful guardians of the sacred work of God, who will keep all their powers in vital connection with Him, will discern between good and evil, and to those who have proved faithful and true and steadfast, connection with the King of Righteousness will be their reward. They will be as gods, knowing good and evil.
move carefully. Mistakes will occur in every institution. But if the managers will learn the lesson all must learn, to move guardedly, these errors will not be repeated, and God will preside over the work. Every worker in our institutions needs to make the Word of God his rule of action. Then the blessing of God will rest on him. May 31st. Living Connection with God. Those employed in our various institutions, our publishing houses, our schools, and our health institutions, should have a living connection with God. Especially is it very important that those who have the management of these great branches of the work be men who make the kingdom of God and his righteousness the first consideration. They are not fit for their positions of trust unless they take counsel of God and bear fruit to his glory. They should pursue a course of life that will honor their Creator, ennoble themselves, and bless their fellow men. All have natural traits which must be cultivated or repressed, as they shall help or hinder in obtaining a growth in grace, a depth of religious experience. These of November 23, 1879. Some things were shown me in reference to the institutions among us and the duties and dangers of those who occupy a leading position in connection with them. I saw that these men have been raised up to do a special work as God's instruments, to be led, guided, and controlled by His Spirit. They are to answer the claims of God and never to feel that they are their own property and that they can employ their powers as they shall deem most profitable to themselves. Although it is their purpose to be and to do right, yet they will most surely err unless they are constant learners in the school of Christ. Their only safety is in humbly walking with God.
Those who have a humble, trusting, contrite heart, God accepts and hears their prayer. And when God helps, all obstacles will be overcome. How many men of great natural abilities and high scholarships have failed when placed in positions of responsibility, while those of feebler intellect, with less favorable surroundings, have been wonderfully successful? The secret was, the former trusted to themselves, while the latter united with Him who is wonderful in counsel and mighty in working to accomplish what He will. Their work being always urgent, it is difficult for some to secure time for meditation and prayer. But this they should not fail to do. The blessing of heaven, obtained by daily supplication, will be as the bread of life to the soul, and will cause them to increase in moral and spiritual strength, like a tree planted by the river of waters, whose leaf will be always green, and whose fruit will appear in due time. 4T 537-539, 1881. I am constrained to address the men to whom God has entrusted sacred things. Regard God with holy fear. Pray that you may be born again. If you have this new birth, you will not delight yourself, as many of you have been guilty of doing, in the crooked ways of your own desires, but in the Lord. You will desire to be under His authority. You will strive constantly to reach a higher standard. Be not only Bible readers, but earnest Bible students, that you may know what God requires of you. You need an experimental knowledge of how to do His will. Christ is our teacher. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Let every teacher in our schools and every manager in our institutions study what it is essential for them to do in order to obtain pardon, comfort, and hope. We are to have only those connected with our institutions who will hear the word of the Lord and appreciate and obey His voice. When a man will plead and urge to have his mind and his judgment to be supreme in any one of our institutions, you can have no greater evidence that that man does not know himself and is not qualified to manage.
He will make mistakes and injure rather than restore. He does not know what responsibilities are involved in his relation to God or to his fellow men. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Those who walk humbly with God will not be striving to obtain greater responsibilities, but will consider that they have a special work to do and will be faithful to their duty. October 12th. Follow the example of Jesus. Men may be placed in high positions of trust in the cause of God, but they can claim nothing from him unless they practice his word and rule in righteousness, seeking to copy the example of the meek and lowly Jesus. The leader in the work, as verily as the humblest lay member, is dependent upon God for power to exercise a pure, uplifting influence. The Lord says to the workers in Washington and Nashville, "Review your operations. You must rise above every cheap and selfish principle and be imbued with the Spirit of God." Unless the workers experience the daily converting power of God upon their hearts and lives, they will not be pleased to meet the record of their deeds before the bar of God, when every man will be rewarded according as his works have been. October 6th. Safeguard God's honor in institutions. Oh, let us feel that we are rich in the mercy and grace and love of God. This is our property. God's honor must be preserved in his institutions. They must never be corrupted, never come under the control of human organizations who work out their will and ways. Never by word or deed let those connected with them make Christ ashamed. Christ and the Father have identified their interests with these institutions and with all suffering humanity. Then let us blend with God and identify our interests with these arms of his power. They are his human agencies. God and heaven and angels are united with us in the work of making these institutions a success. Keep the heart with all diligence. The first work of teachers, physicians, directors is to submit themselves to the yoke of Christ. They must obey the words, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." This is the result of keeping self under the sanctification of the truth. Our first business, and that which should always be made the highest, is to expel from the soul temple everything that will not harmonize with Christ. His Spirit must abide in us by faith. We are to keep the heart with all diligence.
We are warned in the Word of God that sleepless vigilance is the price of safety. Only in the straight path of truth and righteousness can we escape the tempter's power. But the world is ensnared. Satan's skill is exercised in devising plans and methods without number to accomplish his purposes. Dissimulation has become a fine art with him, and he works in the guise of an angel of light. God's eye alone discerns his schemes to contaminate the world with false and ruinous principles, bearing on their face the appearance of genuine goodness. He works to restrict religious liberty and to bring into the religious world a species of slavery. Organizations, institutions, unless kept by the power of God, will work under Satan's dictation to bring men under the control of men, and fraud and guile will bear the semblance of zeal for truth and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Whatever in our practice is not as open as day belongs to the methods of the Prince of Evil. His methods are practiced even among Seventh-day Adventists who claim to have advanced truth. September 19th. Lift the standard higher, I tell you, in the fear of God. The standard must be lifted higher and still higher. The presence of men in every position of trust in our institutions should have a purifying, ennobling odor of his unselfish life,
his generous, self-sacrificing spirit, his sympathy and love after Christ's likeness, should purify the atmosphere. When he presides, his practical example is eloquent for good. His words and counsel come not from exalted human passions, come not from a forward, self-sufficient, self-exalted spirit, but his unobtrusive virtues are of more value than weight in gold. He is more precious than mountains of gold and silver. The man in the midst of things of time and sense walks with God by faith. He keeps eternity in view, and self is hid with Christ in God. Indwelling godliness appears. It pervades his conversation, imparts to his character a steadfastness of purpose, sanctifies his interactions with saints and sinners. He carries with him a moral efficiency. He feels that he has no right to be sharp or dictatorial or arbitrary in any of his decisions. For God is his master, not the human agent. Men of this mold are the only true representatives of Jesus Christ. Counsel for educational leaders. Plead for wisdom. There are schools to be established in foreign countries and in our own country. We must learn from God how to manage these schools. They are not to be conducted as many of them have been conducted. Our institutions are to be regarded as God's instrumentalities for the furtherance of His work in the earth. We must look to God for guidance and wisdom. We must plead with Him to teach us how to carry the work solidly. Let us recognize the Lord as our teacher and guide, and then we shall carry the work in correct lines. We need to stand as a united company who shall see eye to eye. Then we shall see the salvation of God revealed on the right hand and on the left. If we work in harmony, we give God a chance to work for us. In all our schoolwork, we need to have a correct understanding of what the essential education is. Men talk much of higher education, but who can define what the higher education is? The highest education is found in the Word of the Living God, that education which teaches us to submit our souls to God in all humility, and which enables us to take the Word of God and believe just what it says, is the education that is most needed. With this education, we shall see of the salvation of God. With the Spirit of God upon us, we are to carry the light of truth into the highways and the byways, that the salvation of God may be revealed in a remarkable manner. Will we carry forward the work in the Lord's way? Are we willing to be taught of God? Will we wrestle with God in prayer? Will we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? This is what we need and may have at this time. Then we shall go forth with a message from the Lord, and the light of truth will shine forth as a lamp that burneth, reaching to all parts of the world. If we will walk humbly with God, God will walk with us. Let us humble our souls before Him, and we shall see of His salvation. Carefully manage the work. The financial management in some of our schools can be greatly improved. More wisdom, more brain power must be brought to bear upon the work. More practical methods must be brought in to stop the increase of expenditure, which would result in indebtedness. In Battle Creek and College View, altogether too much money has been invested in buildings, and more than was necessary has been spent in furnishing the school homes.
When the managers of a school find that it is not meeting running expenses and debts are heaping up, they should act like level-headed businessmen and change their methods and plans. When 1 year has proved that the financial management has been wrong, let wisdom's voice be heard. Let there be a decided reformation. Teachers may manifest a Christ-like excellence in serious, solid thinking and planning to improve the state of things. They should enter heartily into the plans of the managers and share their burdens. 6T 210, 1900. Unite parents and teachers. Since parents so rarely acquaint themselves with the teacher, it is the more important that the teacher seek the acquaintance of parents. He should visit the homes of his pupils and gain a knowledge of the influences and surroundings among which they live.
By coming personally in touch with their homes and lives, he may strengthen the ties that bind him to his pupils and may learn how to deal more successfully with their different dispositions and temperaments. As he interests himself in the home education, the teacher imparts a double benefit. Many parents, absorbed in work and care, lose sight of their opportunities to influence for good the lives of their children. The teacher can do much to arouse these parents to their possibilities and privileges. He will find others to whom the sense of their responsibility is a heavy burden, so anxious are they that their children shall become good and useful men and women. Often, the teacher can assist these parents in bearing their burden, and, by counseling together, both teacher and parents will be encouraged and strengthened. Ed. 284-285, 1903. Choose wise managers. Wherever schools are established, wise managers must be provided. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, men who will do their very best in the various responsibilities of their positions. Business ability they should have, but it is of still greater importance that they walk humbly with God and are guided by the Holy Spirit. Such men will be taught of God, and they will seek counsel of their brethren who are men of prayer. 6T 215, 1900. Work from pure motives. The managers of our schools must labor with pure motives. In their unselfishness, they will remember that other parts of the great harvest field will require the same facilities that are provided for the school under their care. In every plan, they will remember that equality and unity are to be preserved. They will carefully estimate the expense of every undertaking and will endeavor not to absorb so large an amount of money as to deprive other fields of necessary facilities. 6T 215-216, 1900. Teach lessons learned to the church. The Lord would have painstaking efforts made in the education of our children. True missionary work, done by teachers who are daily taught of God, would bring many souls to a knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus, and children thus educated will impart to others the light and knowledge received. Shall the members of the church give means to advance the cause of Christ among others, and leave their own children to carry on the work and service of Satan? As church schools are established, the people of God will find it a valuable education for themselves to learn how to conduct the school on a basis of financial success. If this cannot be done, close the school until, with the help of God, plans can be devised to carry it on without the blot of debt upon it. Men of financial ability should look over the accounts once, twice, or thrice a year to ascertain the true standing of the school and see that enormous expenses which will result in the accumulation of indebtedness do not exist. We should shun debt as we should shun the leprosy. 6T 217, 1900. Counsel for missionary leaders. Begin aright. There is great importance attached to the starting in right at the beginning of our work. I have been shown that the work in England has been bound about without making that decided advancement that it might have made if the work had commenced right. Far more might have been done with different modes of management, and there would have been less means actually taken from the treasury. We have a great and sacred trust in the elevated truths committed to us. June 18th, EV 89-90. Teach truth in new territories. Our growth has been, in untried fields, generally slow because of the seventh-day Sabbath. There stands a sharp cross directly in the way of every soul who accepts the truth.
There are other truths, such as the non-immortality of the soul and the personal coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven to our earth in a short time. But these are not as objectionable as the Sabbath. Some will conscientiously accept the truth for its own sake because it is Bible truth, and they love the path of obedience to all the commandments of God.
These objectionable features of our faith will bar the way to many souls who do not wish to be a peculiar people, distinct and separate from the world. Therefore, great wisdom is required to be exercised in the matter of how the truth is brought before the people. There are certain clearly defined ends to gain at the very introduction of missionary effort. If the plans and methods had been of a different character, even if they necessarily involved more outlay of means, there would have been far better results. Introduce new truth carefully. Remember that great care is to be exercised in regard to the presentation of truth. Carry the minds along guardedly. Dwell upon practical godliness, weaving the same into doctrinal discourses. The teachings and love of Christ will soften and subdue the soil of the heart for the good seed of truth. June 18th, EV 142. At some places, there should be a slow beginning. This is all they can do. But in many places, the work can be entered into in a more thorough and decided manner from the very first. But there must be no haphazard, loose, cheap manner of work done in any place. The work in Old England might have been much further advanced now than it is if our brethren had not tried to move in so cheap a way. If they had hired good halls and carried forward the work as though they had great truths which would be victorious, and, as though, God would have them start in to make the very first impression the very best that could be made as far as they go, the work would have advanced more than it has. Keep up the elevated character of the missionary work. Let the inquiry of both men and women associated in the missionary work be, "What am I? And what ought I to be and do?" Let each worker consider that he cannot give to others that which he does not possess himself. Therefore, he should not settle down into his own set ways and habits and make no change for the better. Paul says, "I have not attained, but I press forward." Philippians 3, verse 12. It is constant advancement and improvement and reformation that is to be made with individuals to perfect a symmetrical, well-balanced character. Personal defects not to impede truth. While it is well to exercise economy, let the work of God ever stand in its elevated, noble dignity. As you are to begin work in a new mission, be careful that your defects are not exalted as virtues and thus retard the work of God. It is testing truths we are bringing before the people, and in every movement these truths should be elevated to stand in moral beauty before those for whom we labor. Do not throw about the truth the peculiarities of your own character or your own manner of labor. Do not cheapen the work of God. Let it stand forth as from God. Let it bear no human impress, but the impress of the divine. Self is to be lost sight of in Jesus. Much has been lost through following the mistaken ideas of some of our good brethren. Their plans were narrow, and they lowered the work to their peculiar ways and ideas so that the higher classes were not reached. The appearance of the work impressed the minds of unbelievers as being of very little worth, some stray offshoot of religious theory entirely beneath their notice. Much also has been lost through want of wise methods of labor. Use creativity. God's workmen must be many-sided men, that is, they must have breadth of character, not be one-idea men, stereotyped in one manner of working, getting into a groove, and being unable to see and sense that their words and their advocacy of truth must vary with the class of people they are among and the circumstances they have to meet. All should be constantly seeking to develop their minds evenly and to overcome ill-balanced characteristics. This must be your constant study if you make a useful, successful laborer. God would have you, old as you are, continually improving and learning how you can better reach the people.
Be wise and adaptable. The worker in foreign fields will come in contact with all classes of people and all varieties of minds, and he will find that different methods of labor are required to meet the needs of the people. A sense of his own inefficiency will drive him to God and to the Bible for light and strength and knowledge.
The methods and means by which we reach certain ends are not always the same. The missionary must use reason and judgment. Experience will indicate the wisest course to follow under existing circumstances. It is often the case that the customs and climate of a country make a condition of things that would not be tolerated in another country. Changes for the better must be made, but it is best not to be too abrupt. GW 468, 1915. Share the load. Be careful how you build, for it is for time and for eternity. Counsel together. Have your seasons of prayer together. Make no move independently or in opposition to one another. Christ is our living head, and we are members of his body, and all dependent upon the head. It is not our Lord's plan that any member of his body shall suffer for want of proper exercise. For if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is enlightened and honored of God, all rejoice. Banish jealousy and envy. There should be no strife, no envying, no seeking for supremacy. The work is sacred and holy, and God forbid that you, missionaries in Africa, should give to those for whom you labor an example of coldness, selfishness, and avarice. If your work has been done in human wisdom, it will bear your mold. It is marred in your hands. Your work is of an exalted character, and should not be in any way so marred as to make it unacceptable and unattractive. Your discourses must be followed by a holy life. Precious lessons of love, confidence, respect for one another must be given both in and out of the desk. You must live that which you teach. As laborers together with God, you must first come close to one another, for God's instruments must not work at cross purposes. Constantly educate yourselves to be one, as Christ was one with the Father, each improving his entrusted talents. Harmonize and employ talents and gifts, brethren. Let all see that you are living out the lessons of Christ. If any one of the workers thinks that his way is perfect and that the brethren do not appreciate his wisdom and experience, it is a positive evidence that he is not learning meekness and lowliness of heart in the school of Christ. The transforming grace of Christ always leads to meekness and humility. The Lord is not dependent upon us to do his work. He has given us the great privilege of cooperating with him. You may have diverse temperaments, and yet be laborers together with God, all working in harmony. And when all your ability is put into the work, you will accomplish the best results. In doing the Lord's work, we cannot follow our own judgment and peculiar notions. We must work with an eye single to the glory of Christ. Do not talk about that which cannot be done, but of that which can be done through the strength given you of God. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Haggai 2, verse 8. Psalm 50, verse 10. Pray and counsel together. Be sure to pray and counsel together before coming to decisions and laying your plans, and then, in the Spirit of Christ, push the work unitedly. If one of your number decides that he cannot cooperate with his brethren, and has no desire to work because of differences of opinion, the course to be pursued is without a question. Humble yourselves before God, and resort to prayer, for you cannot and must not attempt to work at variance. Trust God. The worker in a foreign field must carry in his heart the peace and love of heaven,
but this is his only safety. Amid perplexity and trial, discouragement and suffering, with the devotion of a martyr and the courage of a hero, he is to hold fast to the hand that never lets go, saying, "I will not fail nor be discouraged." He must be a close Bible student and should be often in prayer. If, before talking with others, he will seek help from above, he may be assured that angels of heaven will be with him. At times he may yearn for human sympathy, but in his loneliness he may find comfort and encouragement through communion with God. Let him be cheered by the words of the Saviour, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. From this divine companion, he will receive instruction in the science of soul saving. GW 469, 1915. Empower local decision makers. The people of every country have their own peculiar, distinctive characteristics, and it is necessary that men should be wise in order that they may know how to adapt themselves to the peculiar ideas of the people, and so introduce the truth that they may do them good. They must be able to understand and meet their wants. Circumstances will arise which demand immediate action, and it will be necessary that those who are right on the field should take hold of the interest and do the thing that is necessary to be done under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Should they wait, in a time of crisis, for direction to come from Battle Creek as to what they should do, they might lose much. The men who are handling the work should be faithful stewards of the grace of God. They should be men of faith, and they should be encouraged to look to God and to trust in Him. May 7th. Train foreign workers. Even at this 11th hour, there should be decided advancement made in the matter of a special preparatory work. In all our conferences, there should be well-organized plans for the instruction and training of those who desire to give themselves to the cause of God. Our city missions afford favorable opportunities for education in missionary labor, but these are not enough. There ought to be connected with our schools the best possible facilities for the preparation of laborers, both for home and foreign fields. There should also be in our larger churches special training schools for young men and women, to fit them to become workers for God. And far more attention should be given by our ministers to the matter of assisting and educating younger laborers. When an effort is made to introduce the truth in an important place, our ministers should give special attention to the instruction and training of those who are to cooperate with them. HS 281, 1886. Help the Master Builder. The Jewish temple was built of hewn stones, quarried out of the mountains, and every stone was fitted for its place in the temple, hewed, polished, and tested, before it was brought to Jerusalem. And when all were brought to the ground, the building went together without the sound of axe or hammer. This building represents God's spiritual temple, which is composed of material gathered out of every nation and tongue and people of all grades, high and low, rich and poor, learned and unlearned. These are not dead substances to be fitted by hammer and chisel. They are living stones, quarried out from the world by the truth. And the great master builder, the Lord of the temple, is now hewing and polishing them and fitting them for their respective places in the spiritual temple. When completed, this temple will be perfect in all its parts, the admiration of angels and of men, for its builder and maker is God. HS 136, 137, 1886. Foster unity in judgment and purpose. Let no one think that there need not be a stroke placed upon him. There is no person, no nation, that is perfect in every habit and thought. One must learn of another. Therefore, God wants the different nationalities to mingle together, to be one in judgment, one in purpose. Then the union that there is in Christ will be exemplified. HS 137, 1886. Beware of entanglements. The presentation before me is not encouraging. Divine foresight is needed to see the result of business transactions between parties that it is next to an impossibility to unify. The missionary work is a great and grand work, and those whom God has made stewards in trust must not feel at liberty to unite in any confederacy which God, who sees the end from the beginning, cannot justify and endorse as glorifying His holy name. God must be consulted as to how His work shall be advanced, without having woven into it one thread of selfishness. God will work. He will furnish means for the carrying forward of His work without entanglement. His work is not to be bound about because men choose to act out perverse human nature, instead of submitting to be molded and fashioned after the divine similitude. Represent truth wisely. We have to use wisdom in representing the truth. Our speech must be tempered, else we cut ourselves off from gaining access to those who need help. The wisdom of angelic agencies must be imparted to human instrumentalities, else the door will be closed to the message the people need. Be ye wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. The word of God is to be lived as well as preached. It is to be brought into every phase of the Christian work done in this world. The men God has appointed to do His work must be emptied of self. Let Jesus in. Open the door of the heart to the heavenly guest. Let no man be looked up to as God. When those who come nigh God in service are consecrated, cleansed and purified, approaching nearer and still nearer the divine benevolence, they can voice the commission of God and be respected.
God designs that men shall be drawn constantly upward by the strong moral attraction of that which is above. Had the workers in Africa remembered this, they would have done a great work by their God-fearing, unselfish attitude. Counsel for Physicians and Sanitariums. I desire, if possible, to impress the minds of our physicians and managers with the importance of giving so pure and righteous a representation of God that the world will see Him in His beauty. I desire them to be so filled with the Spirit that dwelt in Him, but worldly policy will have no power to divert their minds from the work of presenting to men the grand, wonderful possibilities before every soul who receives and believes in Christ. Truth alone is to be our watchword. Self is to be hidden. Christ alone is to appear, full of grace and truth. Passion for the lost. All our institutions should be missionary agencies in every sense of the word. No work is to be allowed to hinder the work of soul saving. In every institution, there is missionary work to be done. From the manager down to the humblest worker, all should feel a responsibility for the unconverted among their own number. They should put forth earnest efforts to win them to Christ. As a result of such effort, many will be won to the Savior and will become faithful and true in service to God. April 9th. Kind, thoughtful managers. Your, Brother Rice, sincerity may not be doubted, your uprightness may not be questioned. But sincerity and uprightness will not atone for a lack of kindness and conciliation. Remember that there are those who have an interest in the institution, fully as great as the interest you have in it. Do nothing without counseling with your brethren. Your conduct is so lacking in kindness and sympathy that the good you possess is evil spoken of. Your management is not only an offense to your brethren, but an offense to God. The course you pursue in choosing a few as favorites is against you. You must live and work for Christ's sake. Selfishness is to have no part in the work of God. The desire to have one's own way
contrary to the judgment of co-workers, is to find no place in our institutions. All ye are brethren. Matthew 23, verse 8. A spirit of love and tenderness is to be shown. In our sanitariums, and in any institution, kind words, pleasant looks, a condescending demeanor are of great value. There is a charm in the interactions of men who are truly courteous. In business transactions, what power for good a little condescension has. How restoring and uplifting the influence of such dealing upon men who are poor and depressed, borne down to the earth by sickness and poverty. Shall we withhold from them the balm that such dealing brings? It may seem to you that in dealing thus you will lose money, but it is not so. Far greater than the apparent loss will be the gain. God marks our every action as we deal with the suffering and afflicted. If men realized how much hope and courage could be inspired in hearts by condescension, how different would be the condition of things in our world? Those who deal with human minds must cultivate self-control, patience, kindness, forbearance, and Christ-like love. These souls may be their companions through the ceaseless ages of eternity. There is no respect of persons with God. All with whom we stand related, in any capacity, should see in us Christ-like attributes, not satanic. Everything should be set in order and everything guarded against that would cast a shadow over the religious life of the workers, or the soul of one who has not accepted Christ, thus making his salvation more difficult. Let all in the sanitarium, whether high or low, take heed that not one soul with whom they are connected shall suffer from their peculiar selfish, egotistical notions. Be broad, noble, and Christ-like, and this comprehends all goodness and faithfulness. I call upon those who stand as presidents and overseers in our institutions to change. Altogether, too much of the natural tendency of the human heart is revealed, which has nothing to do with Christ, but everything to do with self. Hear the words of the Lord to you. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Kindness and courtesy, gentleness and grace, must be revealed in the men who bear high responsibilities. Then there will be unity, and love will be exercised toward all, for they will have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
If those in positions of trust have the love of God in the heart and the fear of God before them, they will be kind, considerate, patient. By precept and example, they will show that when dealing with their erring fellow creatures, they follow Christ's example. Superiors, inferiors, and equals are all amenable to one law, the Ten Commandments. Old and young are to fear God with the whole heart. For master and servant, the standard is, he will keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. The curse of God and not his blessing will be upon those who do not meet this standard. God holds the managers of his institutions accountable to treat the youth in the employ of these institutions with courtesy, respect, and fatherly kindness. They are to deal with them as they themselves wish to be dealt with by Christ. Our first work, as the Lord has presented it to me, is to be so kind to the youth, so thoughtful of their interests, that they will feel at home in our presence. April 9th, leading with integrity. Those who control others should first learn to control themselves. Until those in responsibility learn this lesson, they cannot act the part of a Christian in their work of overseeing others. They are to abide in Christ
speaking as he would speak, acting as he would act, with unfailing tenderness and compassion. They are not to think, because they are in a position of responsibility, that they are at liberty to bear down on those connected with them. To the one who manages, God has given a measure of power, but this power he is to exercise in a pleasing and agreeable manner. Let those who have been exalted to the high position of managers in the Lord's institutions, who are set as guardians of their fellow workers, pray to the Lord most earnestly for his grace. Let them submit to him in all things and make a solemn covenant with him that they will set a guard over the door of their lips, remembering that they are representatives of the heavenly kingdom and that, therefore, they are to live lives of a higher order than the worldling who has not received Christ. Counsel for publishing leaders. I have been shown that there is a great want of personal piety among the workers in the office, Review and Herald, nearly every one of them, and that their unsanctified wisdom is the result of a lack of connection with God. They take very little time to seek God's counsel with humble contrition of soul, with earnest searching of heart. Self-sufficient, they walk in the sparks of their own kindling. The spiritual atmosphere which surrounds their soul does not make manifest that they have constant reliance upon God. The most sacred truths are fast losing their preciousness and sanctity to them, because they do not have a full connection with God and receive the things that be of God. Unless the converting power of God shall be felt upon the hearts and characters of men in positions of trust, they will not, cannot, be one with Christ, keeping the way of the Lord. But like the Pharisees in the days of Christ, they will teach the doctrines and commandments of men, and the Lord will have no more use for them. They cannot be laborers together with God while they keep the spirit that has actuated them in the past. They have felt but little respect for those who have stood under the direction of God in seeking counsel from Him who is mighty in wisdom, in founding and building up His great work in the earth. The consecration, the vital piety, the humility which God requires does not exist among them. Self is exalted, and Jesus is not glorified. Jesus, the blessed and only potentate between God and man, is not working with them. Satan's insinuations are credited, and plain commands of God in regard to mercy and tender compassion are ignored. Those who are handling sacred truths in the publishing work, or in any branch of the cause of God, are invited of God to put forth their highest mental and moral energies, to study continually in their business line, not the will of men, but the will of God. Workers with talent and influence. All the ability that can be connected with the institution through disinterested effort should be brought in to make it a success, a living, working agent for God. Consecrated workers who possess talents and influence are the ones whom the publishing houses need. Every worker will be tested as to whether he is laboring for the advancement of the Lord's institution or to serve his own interests. Those who have been converted will give daily evidence that they are not seeking to use for their personal benefit the advantages and knowledge they have gained. They realize that divine providence has given them these advantages, that, as the Lord's instrumentalities, they may serve His cause by doing superior work. Let the workers enlist all their energies in the effort to gain advantages for the Lord's work. In doing this, they themselves will gain strength and efficiency. 7.198.
Missionary Houses. Our publishing houses were erected to do a work for the Lord, to send heavenly light to all parts of the world, to bring precious souls into the fold. Let the office be a missionary plant to do a work for the Master in the conversion of souls. Work and watch and pray for souls, as they that must give an account. This year, try the Lord's prescribed remedy for evil. Let every man do that which the Lord requires him to do, looking unto Jesus, who is the owner of every soul. Let the workers, who have to act a part in this firm,
Remember that God calls them to be a convention of Christian workers, a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. When course corrections are needed. No dictatorial power. An example has been set in our institutions, which has done great harm. A spirit has been cherished, which needs to be entirely put away. This, lording it over God's heritage, must no longer be tolerated. The directors of God's work must be men who have learned to seek Him in prayer, to be guided by His Spirit. Men who realize the importance of being filled with wisdom from above. Those in our institutions, from the highest to the lowest, need to humble themselves before God. There must be a revival of the Holy Spirit in human hearts. The kingly authority exercised by man over his fellow man is no longer to find recognition in our institutions. No man is to feel that he can be conscience for another. Mutual dependence is the law of the universe. The principles of truth are worked out through different instrumentalities, but there is one head over all, working through all and in all, to reveal the character of God to the world. In the carrying forward of the cause of God, there is to be no injustice, no impartiality. In the heavenly courts, the choicest treasures of God are prepared for His people, that they may work for Him in the fragrance of His love. If those whom God, in His providence, has placed in responsible positions in His institutions are sharp, exacting, dictatorial, overbearing, the institutions with which they are connected will suffer great loss. The effect of their course will react on them, robbing them of peace and rest. A strong will is a blessing if sanctified to God. Put your, Brother Rice, will on the side of God's will. Let your life be controlled by the wide, generous principles of the Bible, the principles of goodwill, kindness, and courtesy. Place less confidence in self. Remember that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. No one in an institution, not even the superintendent, should take the position that he is free to follow his own judgment in all things. Let no one think that he knows so much that he no longer needs to learn. Unless we are constantly learning of Christ, and unless we are willing to take counsel and advice from our brethren, we shall fail in our work. For we shall become self-sufficient, and with those who are self-sufficient, God cannot work. Now I want to say, God has not put any kingly power in our ranks to control this or that branch of the work. The work has been greatly restricted by the efforts to control it in every line. GCB, April 3rd, 1901. LDE, 53. Remove climate of criticism. The Holy Spirit stands ready to work man if he will submit to the working. But you, managers of institutions, feel fully capable of working yourselves. You are too apt to criticize others. You may criticize yourself as much as you please, but refrain from criticizing your fellow workers, for if you do this, you will be left to your own ways. Reformation is called for by the watcher. When the work is accomplished that should be accomplished in the minds and hearts of those brought together in our institutions as Christian workers, when every phase of the work is done with an eye single to the glory of God, when murmuring and strife are put far away, when the upward lines of advance that Christ and conscience point out are not disputed, then the Holy Spirit will have a chance to work on the hearts that need converting. As matters now stand, those who should be educators are sometimes fickle and impatient, given to murmuring and fault-finding. Day by day they deal out these objectionable attributes to those connected with them. They are far from being harmless, blameless, and without rebuke. Eliminate harmful speech. Sometimes, those who are officiating as overseers need themselves to be under an overseer. A decided reformation is needed in the work of some who fill positions as managers. how much the helpers in the various lines of God's work might be helped if the managers were themselves managed by the Spirit of God. You, Brother Boker, are in danger. It is necessary for me to say that by the sharp words that you speak, you dishonor Christ. But no one should be dealt with in a harsh, domineering manner. You may think that this way of acting and speaking will reform wrongs, but you will find that it will increase wrongs.
Avoid seeking undue advantage. The righteousness of Christ by faith has been ignored by some, for it is contrary to their spirit and their whole life experience. Rule, rule has been their course of action. Satan has had an opportunity of representing himself. When one who professes to be a representative of Christ engages in sharp dealing and pressing men into hard places, those who are thus oppressed will either break every fetter of restraint, or they will be led to regard God as a hard master. They cherish hard feelings against God, and the soul is alienated from him, just as Satan planned it should be. This hard-heartedness on the part of men who claim to believe the truth, Satan charges to the influence of truth itself, and thus men become disgusted and turn from the truth. For this reason, no man should have a responsible connection with our institutions who thinks it no important matter whether he has a heart of flesh or a heart of steel. Men think they are representing the justice of God, but they do not represent his tenderness and the great love wherewith he has loved us. Their human invention, originating with the specious devices of Satan, appears fair enough to the blinded eyes of men because it is inherent in their nature. A lie believed, practiced, becomes as truth to them. Thus, the purpose of the satanic agencies is accomplished, that men should reach these conclusions through the working of their own inventive minds. But how do men fall into such error? By starting with false premises, and then bringing everything to bear to prove the error true. In some cases, the first principles have a measure of truth interwoven with the error, but it does not lead to any just action, and this is why men are misled. In order to reign and become a power, they employ Satan's methods to justify their own principles. They exalt themselves as men of superior judgment, and they have stood as representatives of God. These are false gods. September 24th. Turn from self-serving. Some who have been long in Battle Creek and who ought to be responsible men are occupying positions of trust in name only. They have been made guardians of our institutions, but their course of action shows that they have no special interest in them, nor burden for them. Their thoughts center upon themselves. If we were to judge them by their works, we should decide that they consider their own energies too precious to be exercised for these instrumentalities of God, unless they can secure temporal advantages to themselves. These are neglecting to keep the fort, not because they cannot do it, but because they are self-caring, and are content to rock themselves to sleep in the cradle of carnal security. 4T 512-1880. Here in this world, even in connection with sacred responsibilities, there is manifested an eagerness to obtain high positions, to rule, to guide, to control. But of Christ we read that, though in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Those who are in connection with heaven are not to snatch at power as did Satan in the heavenly courts. The Pharisees and the scribes and elders in Christ's day manifested an avaricious spirit. This brought them under the control of Satan and was the main cause of their hatred to Christ, because his teachings and his example rebuked everything of this character. If this spirit should be cherished in our institutions under any policy, God cannot abide there. There should not be a grasping spirit toward their brethren, for this is not heaven-born, but from beneath. Any injustice done to one of God's children is registered in the books as done unto Christ, as done unto his saints.
That success which is gained in taking advantage of another in sharp dealing will prove to be loss in the end. And that which appears to be failure through the practice of principles that represent the life of Christ is divine success. The word of the Lord to those connected with his institutions is, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." Isaiah 52, verse 11. In all our institutions, let self-seeking give place to unselfish love and labor for souls nigh and afar off. Then the holy oil will be emptied from the two olive branches into the golden pipes, which will empty themselves into the vessels prepared to receive it. Then the lives of Christ's workers will indeed be an exposition of the truths of his word. The love and fear of God, the sense of his goodness, his holiness, will circulate through every institution. An atmosphere of love and peace will pervade every department. 7T 148-149, 1902. Cause for termination. Let everyone be assured that a worldly policy and a worldly spirit are not sanctified by connection with God's institutions. If Christ were on earth today, he would cleanse his institutions of everything unlike the pure principles of heaven.
Those who have had these principles kept before them, and yet continue to go contrary to them, should be separated from the institutions. Those who, in their work in the institutions, that are to give to the world a representation of God and of heavenly things, do not give evidence of purity and elevation of character, should labor elsewhere. Here are the very words that we want to bring into our life practice. The men that have long stood in positions of trust, while disregarding the light that God has given, are not to be depended upon. God wants them to be removed. When change goes wrong. Many changes are made that might better never be made. Often, when workers become discontented, instead of being encouraged to stay where they are and make a success of their work, they are sent to another place. But they take with them the same traits of character that in the past have marred their work. They will manifest the same unchristlike spirit, for they have not learned the lesson of patient, humble service. I plead for a different order of things. Changes must be made in the groups of workers in our conferences and institutions. Men of efficiency and consecration must be sought for and encouraged to connect with the burden bearers as helpers and collaborators. Let there be a harmonious union of the new and the old in the spirit of brotherly love. But let not changes of management be made abruptly in such a way as to bring discouragement to those who have labored earnestly and successfully to bring the work to a degree of progress. God will not sanction anything done to discourage his faithful servants. Let the principles of justice be followed by those whose duty it is to secure the most efficient management for our publishing houses, our sanitariums, and our schools. 7T 280.